America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today, alongside Hugh Douglas. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Tom. Good morning, Philadelphia. Hey, I got two orders of business. First one is a question, and then the second one is like, I'm just excited about this. But the first question is this. What's up with the Ducks and the Jeep drivers? Like, I need to know that. I'm just curious because I don't like, no disrespect, but the Ducks and the Jeep drivers are kind of like synonymous.
I think that's a way for the Jeeps to, I guess, salute other Jeeps, I've heard.
I don't know. How can you salute them when the Ducks are like on the console?
Yeah,
I don't know. But the Ducks is a thing. And another thing, Tom, that this gave me great joy when I found this out last
What's
night,
that?
Man. Wawa's coming to Ohio. I don't know why that brings me joy because I don't live in Ohio. But it just feels like a win.
I don't give a
shit. Hey, Kyle, forget you. It just feels like a win. I don't know why. Because especially since I have a lot of friends that live in Ohio, and I tell them about Wawa, and they say, what? They like, what? I know they're building one in Huber Heights. That's close to like Dayton, Ohio. That's going to be pretty exciting. And they're breaking ground on another one, or I might have it like mixed up, but I was kind of excited.
They're
about
everywhere.
The Wawa.
They're everywhere, man. I'm shocked they're not in Ohio
already.
They're
not in Georgia. They're not in Georgia.
They're not in Georgia yet?
Not yet.
Some
in Florida. Definitely
okay.
In Florida. Right. I just thought that was a win for my home state.
There you
I was
go.
Excited about
yeah.
that.
That's great for the
You know what? I'm at
state
that age.
Ohio.
I'm at that age now, man, where I like it's just weird how many like random things like you get excited. I got excited about when I saw Wawa broke ground in Ohio.
There you go. And then the Jeep thing. I don't know why they all have those Ducks.
I don't know. I don't understand the Ducks. I'm pretty sure, like, anybody that drives a Jeep, you know, holler at me. Let me know.
Yeah.
I know I'm not a part of the clan,
the Jeep,
or whatever, the Jeep clan, the Jeep peoples.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would like to know.
Well, if anybody has any more info on that, please let us know. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show today. And, Hugh, we're sitting here. We're still reacting to the Eagles' loss. I mean, 2 days later, we've had that time to digest. And honestly, today, being Thursday, game on Sunday, it's honestly time to turn the page. And we'll begin to do that today. But this
will
is,
we?
I think. We're going to try.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to try our best here.
No, we ain't going to turn the page.
We've had two straight. At some point, we got to. I mean, we got another game on Sunday here. We have to look ahead.
I think tomorrow, today is Thursday, right?
Today's Thursday. Tomorrow's Friday.
Hey, dude, listen.
Come on, man.
Just starting to
lock in, buddy.
Wait a minute, Kyle.
You don't seem locked in here.
No, wait a minute. They tend to run together. I know we got a game tonight, but I was like, wait a minute, it's Thursday. It just feels like, for whatever reason, this loss is lingering.
It's a little bit longer.
It's a little bit longer. It's the way that we lost. It's
Monday night.
It's yes. And I feel like, for a lot of people, because I've been listening to a lot of pundits talk about this, and you know, I try to get as much information I possibly can, go back and watch the games and everything, and try to assess how I feel. It feels to me like when people talk about this Eagles team, I look at them in a small two-game sampling size, but everybody else is looking at them in a nine-game sampling size. And I get where they're coming from, because it's a pattern, but I don't feel like last year has any weight on this year. But I understand why some guys are feeling like, you know, some of the things that have happened in the locker room in the past are starting to creep into this season. And people are making a big deal to me about something that I've been trying for the last couple of days. The big story that I've been seeing, Tom, was a lot of people are upset because we just found out that Nick Sirianni didn't talk to the team
right
after the game.
Well, yeah, and this is the thing, and this is what we want to ask the people to start the show here, is looking back at that game on Monday night, Hugh, are we overreacting to that loss? And if you want to get into 1-5-5-9-2-9-4-9-4, it was a bad loss, but early in the season, I mean, you look, a lot of teams lost week two, a lot of good teams you'd expect to be good are 1-1, to look at teams like Bengals and Ravens, they're both 0-2 right now. Are we overreacting this loss? And if you want to get into 1-5-5-9-2-9-4-9-4, and off what you were saying there, Hugh, do you think we're overreacting this?
Yes, I do. But I'm not mad at anybody for overreacting, because that's what we do as fans. I look at it like this, and I've said this. You're never as good or as bad as your first few games in the NFL. As a matter of fact, I've moved the line a little bit, because most guys don't play in the preseason. You don't know what your team is until after the first four games. I use that same philosophy when I talk about young quarterbacks. You know, you have young quarterbacks that first game of the season. Look at, who is that, Caleb Williams. With Chicago. First game of the season. Everybody talked about how he was the guy to win the game. When you go back and you look at the game, he didn't do a whole lot.
No.
But that was the storyline. You see him play against the Texans, doesn't do a whole lot. So it's one of those things. He has two more games before I actually start to assess this young quarterback. Same thing with NFL teams, man. We saw the Dallas Cowboys first week of the season look like world beaters. Go down to New Orleans, get their lunch money taken from them, and their lunch stolen, you know, whatever. And it's not what it is. You look at the Baltimore Ravens. They're 0-2, you know. Cincinnati Bengals. They haven't won a game. They went down to Kansas City. And they played extremely well. So I feel like, where I understand people are upset and they're looking at it and they're changing flight patterns and they're not talking about Super Bowl or anything like that, I get that. But at the same time, I don't think this team is as bad as it looked Monday night.
Understood. And if you want to get into 1-5-5-9-2-9-4-9-4, and I get your point. Like, you look at early in the season, hey, teams are going to lose games they're expected to win and win games that they're expected to lose. Things the first few weeks aren't necessarily a reflection of how things are going to look the rest of the season. But I look at it, Hugh, I don't think we're overreacting at all. I mean, the loss was a disgrace. They blew the game. That's a game they could need down the line. But even beyond that, like, to me, it's not as much about the fact that they lost the game. I was like you. Going into the game Monday night, I was nervous. I thought it was going to be a close game. I thought that was a game the Eagles could lose. But to me, coming out of it, what concerns me the most is I don't feel any better about a lot of elements of this team. I mean, through two games, I think it's fair to say the defensive line is a mess.
Yeah.
And they got to get it cleaned up. The
yes.
linebackers, they can't stop the run. They're averaging 6.4 yards against per run play. The lack of talent, the skill spots behind the top three. Like, we talk about AJ, Devontae, Saquon. Besides that, I mean, Britton Covey, who's getting a lot of heat. I don't know if that's totally.
I don't like when
week.
I talk about Britton Covey.
Six
I don't mean
catches, Hugh.
I don't mean that, like, give him heat. I just look at it like this. If I can explain it, is that Britton Covey's body of work is not that extensive,
right?
And it's not like I understand giving him an opportunity, which they did, but you got six catches for 23 yards, like. You're not being productive in a situation where I need you to be productive.
Right. And that speaks to me more as a lack of players besides those top guys who have the ability to make plays when he's getting targeted that much. And you look at all these elements and Jalen Hurts, who I thought Jalen Hurts played a really good game the other night. But mm-hmm. in the end, he made a bad decision. He made a bad decision at the end of that game where there's no need to push the ball downfield there. Just take the throw underneath and get into field goal range. And I look at all this stuff, Hugh, I don't think we're overreacting considering the way this team has played, considering the talent hauls. And I thought coming into this year, and people said I was crazy, I thought them winning 8-9 games wasn't, you know, a crazy possibility. And I still think that's the fact now. Like, I watched these first two games. Would it shock you if this team won only 8 or 9 games this year? Because it wouldn't for me.
Yes, it would. For me, that would be a shocker. I feel like this team is better. I've always said that this defense is probably going to be in the process of they're going to, it's going to be a process, and this offense is going to have to carry today. To me, they didn't do their job Monday night. They didn't do their job efficiently, I should say. You know, and I know that we all harp on the Saquon Barkley dropping everything, and we all are saying what we would have done in that situation. We need to get over that. The bottom line is this. In order for our team to be better, we have to play better offensively, and we cannot put our defense in the positions that we put them in Monday night. That's a fact, because we know what the deficiencies are. And the only way that they're going to get better is with repetition. And if you want this team to be a better pass rushing team, I feel like you have to put more points on the board. I know Joe doesn't agree with that because he's a guy. We don't want to run Saquon Barkley to death. That's why we brought him here. We gave him a ton of money. Mm. And now you're going to have to probably earn it and then some. But this offense has to carry today in order for this defense to be successful.
Well, that's the way it looks, because this defense looks awful. And we'll ask Kyle here, bring Kyle in. Kyle, do you think we're overreacting to the loss on Monday night? I don't think so. Hugh thinks we are. Where are you?
We're overreacting a little bit.
Oh, come on, Kyle.
Well, like, think about it. The Eagles weren't the only good team to have lost in week two. I get it sucks. Like, the pain of the way that they lost was brutal. They shouldn't have lost. I get it. The Niners probably shouldn't have lost to the Vikings. I think, I don't know what the Saints are, but I would venture to say the Cowboys probably shouldn't have gotten their asses handed to them by the Saints the way they did. And the Lions lost to the Bucs, who I think are a pretty decent team. But like, the Eagles are now level with, I think, some of the other teams, some of the other top teams in the NFC. And like, if you're looking at, like think about it. I saw odds, or like at least like rankings for like MVP race right now. You know who's up there? It's like Derek Carr, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield. It's like these things are going to level out eventually. I get that the loss stings a little bit, but I'm hearing a lot about this team just stinks. You know, like, get ready to fire everybody. They're 8-9. They're mediocre. Like, whatever it is. I just think we're going a little bit too far. A little bit too far. There's a lot of time to see what this thing actually is going to be. I just think people like to pull a plug a little bit too early. It's reminding them a lot of last season. I get it. But, like, you got to give it a little bit of time. There is a lot of new here. They feel like a team that could either spiral out of control, or they could get it together by the end of the year. Like, they could have been – I think a lot of people projected them to be 1-1 after the first two games.
Yeah.
They just – the results are flipped. I said this morning. I said it yesterday. I think we could eventually look at the Green Bay win as good of a win as the Falcons' loss was bad. So, at the end of the day, they're 1-1. If they go down and beat the Saints, or, you know, win a close one there, or just don't get their asses handed to them, who knows? Maybe we'll feel a little bit better about the Eagles. I think just pump the brakes on the freaking out a little bit.
I hear you, and it's reasonable. I just think when you look forward, it's less about the loss to me and more about the things coming out of the loss, the problems. The defense looks terrible. The defensive line can't get after the passer. They can't stop the run. And those are some of the things that I struggle to see how it gets corrected. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. But do you believe we are overreacting to the Eagles' loss on Monday night? Your call's coming up on this. Also, we'll let you hear from LaShawn McCoy. Says the Eagles are going to be fine. Plus, we have Phillies tickets to give away today. A fun Hughes Clues on that. We'll hit that next as well. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Alongside Hugh Douglas, this is the Midday Show, Sports Radio. Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today, alongside Hugh Douglas, as we try to move forward to the New Orleans Saints. We'll have former Saint Deuce McAllister coming up later on in the show.
Deuce was an animal.
He was, man. You talk about a power back.
No, listen.
Took four guys to bring Deuce McAllister.
Man,
down.
Listen. You talk about we had Jamal Anderson. Now we're about to have Deuce McAllister. The era that I played in,
yeah,
had some grown ass men running the football.
A little
man.
Different.
It wasn't them little Lilliputians back there running the toting the rock. They had some big ass running backs. Like Saquon Barkley's not a little dude.
No,
don't talk about back in my day when you're all plant based now.
Yeah. You. I mean, seriously.
You know what?
This is so disturbing.
You know what's funny? I never thought in my whole entire existence that I would ever be the guy who would say, start a sentence by, hey, back when I did it, you know what I mean? But here I am.
I'm listening to the show sometimes, and Hugh, you're getting bullied by plant-based Joe and plant-based Kyle.
Man, I ain't thinking about
Hugh's
Kyle
the plant-based
or Joe.
One now.
You've adopted their ways.
Listen, I have grown as a radio host.
Hugh.
I like to look at things in different views.
Believe in defense, dude.
No, defense is a luxury still. And I kept telling y'all before the season started. Like, I said it. See, you know what it is? Since I'm here in Philadelphia, I'm going to tell you what it is.
What happened to Hugh Douglas I used to know?
If I would have said this defense is garbage and everybody sucked, everybody would understand that.
Yeah.
They would have understood that. But no, I try to use nice words because I don't want to make anybody feel bad. And I said I wasn't going to be that guy. So I said, listen, our offense is going to have to score a lot of points. I'm saying the same thing.
Right.
But y'all ain't here. You see, you can't. You got to be able to read between the lines. See, we need to grow up as a people.
Okay.
Because you know that's what I've been saying the same thing the whole time, man. I ain't changed. I ain't changed what I said. I knew this defense was probably gonna look like it looked.
I didn't know it would look this bad, Hugh. And that's the thing.
It looked bad.
Terrible.
It looked bad. Look at it like this, TK. It looks bad because they can't stop the run. They definitely can't get after the passer. But The Falcons played a game where they kept the game close, and they tried to win it in the end.
Right.
It's like being in a horse race, and you have a lead horse, the rabbit, and then you have a pace horse.
Mm.
And when you get around to that last lap, then you try to take over. You know, you've been drafting all the time, and then you just kind of do the slingshot move. That's more like NASCAR. I use horses, but NASCAR probably would have been a better analogy. And that's how you win. That's how you win.
Yeah, and it was that way on Monday night.
Try to tell you.
Bad loss Monday night. Want to know, are we overreacting? I say no. I think the signs are there. This team could be in big trouble. The defense is a mess. The defensive line is terrible. Hugh and Kyle say we're overreacting a little bit. Pump the brakes. This team's going to be okay. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. We'll get to the phones in a second here. But first, checking on what people are saying about the Eagles nationally here. Here was Nick Wright yesterday on FS1. Talking about the Eagles and his reaction to Monday night.
A Super Bowl team, I don't know that they're – I think even that statement might be overrating them. I don't know that they're a playoff team. They have lost 7 of 9. Last year, across the board, they had a bottom 5 defense. This year, across the board, they have a bottom 5 defense. I liked their draft picks, but rookies don't typically instantly help you in the secondary. That's how they were going to fix their secondary. They have a bad defense, they're poorly coached, and their quarterback is becoming increasingly hard to trust.
Poorly coached is strong.
Poorly coached is the one.
That's the one cut that jumped out to me.
That's
poorly coached.
That's the one that I kind of disagree with. I mean, I know I'm in the minority. I didn't think the coaching on Monday night was that bad. But you look at the other things, Hugh, and as far as they might not be a playoff team, I don't think it's crazy. When you look at the defense, how bad they've been, and Jalen, he played great the other night, but that decision at the end of the game
was a bad decision.
It was tough.
I look at it like this, and I know it's probably not the way that most people are looking at it. You take away, and we can't, I know that. You take away that drop, and we score. Jalen doesn't throw that pick. He has a good game.
Yep.
I mean, that's the bottom line. Jalen got caught, in my opinion, in a situation where, you know, I'm pretty sure in his mind, you know, think about it like this. Kirk Cousins, a feeble, old-ass quarterback.
feeble.
Goes out. No, and I'm just trying to.
That's a tough
no,
word.
No,
to
listen.
Use.
I'm trying to frame it in a way that people can understand. Because when I use nice words, nobody understands those. Okay. So I'm gonna use words that are mean and hurtful.
That's good growth by you.
You know what I'm saying? Because I'm trying to like.
You're
like,
on
I'm,
WIP, buddy.
You know what I mean? So feeble quarterback. That's a statue back there. He goes out, and he orchestrates a Tom Brady-esque drive. So now if I'm Jalen Hurts, the young Thundercat on the other side of the field, I'm looking at that and I'm like, holy snickerdoodles. I got to go make a play. Like, I need to be, because that's what quarterbacks are defined by. Like, how many times have we seen games where in the waning moments of the game, Tom Brady, Joe Montana, Dan Marino, like, that's what defines great quarterbacks. So Jalen gets caught up in the matrix on that play, and he wants to make a play. But doesn't happen that way.
But that's where I think what makes great quarterbacks is playing great situational football.
And that's what I'm saying. Right. In that situation, Jalen wanted to make a play and be considered one of those great quarterbacks.
Right. I think just take the check down, get into field goal range there. But other than that, Jalen was pretty good. And then there's the other side of it. As far as are we overreacting? Is this team going to be okay? Here's what Shady McCoy had to say yesterday.
The Eagles, we lose in the world, right? I just watched Dallas get smoked, right? And nobody want to talk about it, right? But the Eagles, is it panicking? Is it over for us? No. We should be 2-0, but we're not. We're 1-1. Cool. Okay. We're still a favorite to win the division, right? We lost by, what, 1 point? And our best player on the field, Saquon Barkley, missed a 1 yard pass to seal the game, which if we throw him that pass 10 times, he's going to catch 9 of those.
AJ Brown didn't play.
So, and then our best player, right? That was my best player didn't even play, AJ Brown.
Talk about it too far.
I had a chance to talk to him yesterday. Ooh. And he said, thank God I ain't play. Because the Falcons couldn't contain me, right? They had a hard time watching Devontae Smith. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine what they did with AJ Brown. Mm-hmm. So I'm not panicking at all. I mean, it's early season, right? But trying to. You know, new coordinators on both sides, defensive, offense, trying to figure everything out. We're going to be fine, though. All I'm saying is if you need the Eagles to lose by a talented Saquon Barkley missing a 1 yard pass, the league's in trouble.
Ooh.
The league is in trouble. That is
I like that bravado.
I love Shady. It's a little bit of loser talk from Shady. I mean, come on.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, just, what if A.J. Brown played? If Saquon caught the ball, well, A.J. Brown didn't play, and Saquon dropped the ball.
Yeah,
so they lost.
But as a former player, I understand where he's coming from. I get both sides because we're in it. We're in it, and we see it every day. But like I said, I've had a few days to think about this. And I always try to put myself in position as an older player or a player. And I say, okay, going into the week, if I'm listening to sports, I don't have to. Like when I played, I didn't have to listen to sports radio. I knew what my neighbors were saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being in Philadelphia, that's the beautiful thing about being here is that neighbors and everybody else, if you don't read the paper, they'll let you know how they feel about you, because they're going to let you know.
These guys know what's going on.
Yeah, they know what's going on. That's not a great place to be. And I'm watching film and watching me get drove all around the field and looking bad. That's not a great way to feel.
I can say this, Hugh. What happened to you never, it's not what happened to Bryce Huff the other night. You never got pinned inside repeatedly Bryce Huff did the other night.
My pride. I got.
You never looked that
bad. Not saying that he isn't prideful, but I feel like Bryce Huff probably isn't comfortable in the role that he's in right now. And you know what's funny, TK? I was thinking about that, reflecting on my playing time. And I called my old coach. I called Coach Hamilton yesterday. And I said, hey, man, I appreciate you taking the time out to teach me, like to take that extra time, because I feel like a lot of times we look at these players because they make a ton of money and we don't realize that, you know, that coaching in the NFL is important like it is in high school and in college and all the other stuff. It's important. Right. These guys need to be coached up, man. And I don't know. This is not an indictment on the coaches, because I don't know what's going on over there at the NovaCare complex. But if you've invested $50 million in a player, I think you owe it to the organization and to that player to try to help him out as much as he possibly can. Again, this is not an indictment on the coaches, because I don't know what's going on over there. But if I'm Bryce Huff and I'm struggling and I know I can do this, because he's done it. I need to probably go to my coach and say, hey, what do I need to do better?
Well, whatever it is, they need to figure it out because they need the defensive line to play better, and they need Bryce Huff to play better, bottom line. 215-592-9494. Are we overreacting to the Eagles' loss on Monday night? Let's go to the phones. Go to Jeff in Wilmington. What's up, Jeff?
Jeff.
What's up, guys?
What's going on, man?
Hugh, I can confirm the Wawa out in the Cincinnati, mainly the Cincinnati and Dayton area.
Yes, that's what it was. Man, I was so – listen. Yep. I'm not even in Ohio. I'm
heading out to Dayton today. I'll be out that way today, later on today.
But, man, I was so excited when I heard that. Yeah. So when I do go to Ohio, then I know I can get me a Wawa sandwich at any time of the night.
Yep. And also, back in my day, we drank water out of a hose, and I'm still here, so I'm good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. So, TK, I do think we're overreacting, and I think your assessment of the game being, I'm trying to think what term you said it was, disgraceful?
The way they gave that game up, I thought was disgraceful.
So here's the thing. Did you not say before the game you thought there was a chance they could lose?
Yeah, I thought there was a chance, sure.
So why are you so mad that they did?
Because the way it happened, Jeff, I mean, you watch a game play out, and your opinion's allowed to change. And that game was right there for them. And bottom line, you know, the star running back, catch the football. It's that simple. Catch the ball.
I know that. There was a lot of things going on. The thing that not disturbs me, the thing that I'm most concerned about is mainly the defensive line, dude. I mean, like, Huff is just basically on a milk carton somewhere. And they're not getting – and they couldn't get any pressure on Kirk Cousins. That's the problem. That needs to be fixed. But as far as Saquon dropping the ball, that did ultimately, I guess that was a nail in the coffin type thing to cost him the game. Because if he catches that ball, most likely they win that game. But it's not because of a lack of ability. That was just a lack of concentration or whatever. Those things can be fixed.
But Jeff, that isn't frustrating to you that he would lose concentration in that spot? And it's not they may have won the game. No, if Saquon catches that ball, they win the game. Game's over.
But it's not. It was frustrating, but it's not going to frustrate me for the rest of the season as if that's going to be a normal thing. I don't think – I'm more in line with you on this. I don't think that's going to be a normal thing. So,
no.
Yeah, it was a tough loss. A disgraceful loss is how the Cowboys got their butts dragged across the field.
That bravado they had was different.
But, and that's where I'm at. I'm just saying we overreacted a little bit too much. I'm looking forward to this next game.
Well, I hear you, Jeff, and appreciate the call. I would just say, Hugh, I mean, when I bring up the word disgraceful, I mean, you got as you being a former defensive player, and I know your views on defense have changed a little bit here, but that drive at the end of the game, that's a disgrace. I mean, they went down the field in four plays. They were at the Eagles' 7-yard line.
Yeah. TK, as a fan, and I know you're a diehard fan, if that's how you feel, man, that's how you feel. I don't have a problem with that.
Thank you.
And I don't have a problem with the way Jeff's feeling either. But I, as a former player, I feel like I'm always in football mode when football season starts. So that's why I try not to get too high or too low when I watch games and everything like that. That doesn't always work because I'm down at the shore this weekend and I'm watching games. And I was cool in the beginning, but then I'm yelling and screaming and people looking at me. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you? Who is your team? And I'm like, I'm not rooting for anybody. I'm rooting for football.
Right.
You know, I'm rooting for football. So I try to be measured during the week after an emotional game like this. And I understand that everybody's upset. I get that. But this team, as bad as it looks, isn't as bad as it looks. You know, the defensive line, yeah, that's a problem. I believe that's fixable. I believe this pass rush is fixable. I see a lot of stuff that they're doing, that simple technique, that if they change some of the things that they do with their technique, that can help the pass rush. And it's this. Sacks always come in bunches. That's what I was always told. You need to figure out, like, a lot of times when I watch them play, they take themselves out of pass rush by their splits. The way that they line up, take themselves out of pass rush. Their situational awareness isn't good, and the reason why it's not good is because they haven't stopped the run. Right. Like, you're trying to pass rush on clear pass rush downs when you haven't established dominance against the run, and they're catching you slipping. Like, a lot of times, it might look like a rundown, and I'm trying to remember some of the scenarios that I remember seeing. It might look like a rundown, but it's a passing down.
Right.
Or it might look like a passing down, and you get in the pass rush mode, and they run the ball. You know, so you're getting caught because you haven't established anything across the board. Seth said something the other day that's true. He said they're not good at anything right now.
Well, yeah, and that's a problem and something they need to get figured out is this defensive line. And that's why I am so upset. It's not necessarily just the loss, but a sign of things to come and the fact this defensive line could be a real problem. But we also, in addition to our Eagles conversation, we have a pair of Phillies tickets to give away for Monday night, and we figured what better way to give them away than do some Hughes Clues.
Have you seen my dog, Hugh? He's got a brand new clue. It begins with a tramp stamp. Everybody's looking for Hughes Clues. Come on in, come on in. Hughes Clues. It's Hughes Clues and you.
Oh, I know y'all love when I do Hughes Clues. I can just tell everybody's in the car.
Oh.
Excited about these awesome clues that I like to give away on every time we do it. So what are we giving away again, TK?
Keep that groan to yourself, Fransky. We're giving away a pair of tickets. Oh, LA, sorry. A pair of tickets to the Phillies game Monday night, September 23rd. I'm very excited, Hugh. I'm very excited.
Yes.
Phillies Cubs, Monday night.
Yeah, I am too, man. This is the last homestand too, right?
Yep, last home game of the year.
Well, the regular season home game.
Regular season.
So I'm telling y'all, so you got to listen to these clues because this is a good clue. I am proud of myself for this first clue.
Okay.
This guy is currently selling sausage.
What? Selling sausage? What kind of sausage?
Man, I mean, come on.
I think it's, I don't know, hot sausage.
Hot sausage? Okay.
How about that D, baby?
Get yourself a little bit of that sausage, you?
Sausage. I ain't got no sausage. I ain't getting no sausage.
Why not?
I didn't, because it's... Like, now you're asking me questions that I can't answer because they might guess it.
All right.
But he's currently selling sausage.
All right. Well, this guy's selling sausage. That's our first clue for Hughes Clues today.
I can't wait till some of these clues come in.
Let's go back to the phones. Chris in Middletown. What's up, Chris?
What's up, Hugh? What?
What? What you talking about, Chris? What I do?
What am I talking about?
I'm just saying. That's a great clue. It's a great clue.
God. All right, let me get to my points before I get to this nonsense and take a stab at the sausage pause. Guys, Hugh, well, you mentioned something earlier about running backs. Want to bring you back a little bit, blast out of pass. How about the bus? And luckily for you, you missed out on Brandon Jacobs. So, yeah, we don't usually see
that. Yeah, Brandon Jacobs is a big-ass dude. Yeah.
Yeah. Guys, I was ready to say that we're overreacting. I was ready to agree with you, Hugh, but then a little bit of panic set in, and what happened was this morning I listened to Jason Kelce explain what Nick Sirianni does, and it was a lot of words and a lot of fluff and not a whole lot of substance, but the thing that really alarmed me, and I got my hand hovering over the alarm button with this team this year where I was not there. Now I'm there because he kept saying, I believe Nick did a good job. I connected with him. I saw what he was doing. Not once in that interview did I hear him say, we or the team feels it was all about him and how he personally felt. Maybe I'm reading too much into that because he's a former player, so he doesn't want to talk about locker room things, but mm-hmm. I felt like it was too much of his. He was deflecting by just talking that he believed in Nick and he followed Nick. But again, I didn't hear anything about the rest of the guys. And the problem with Jason is Jason's not in that locker room anymore. So, you know, the Fletcher Cox is gone. So maybe some of the veterans still believe in Nick, but the young guys, maybe not so much. I don't know. Am I reading too much into that?
I think so a little bit. I mean, but we all see it differently, though, Chris. I think that, you know, with his connection over there, I'm pretty sure that he's still talking to some guys that are willing to talk to him and don't look at him as a member of the media yet. So I think that he still has a firm grasp on the locker room. I do.
Okay, so he's just trying to give his take, and he doesn't want to speak for them because they'll get mad about that.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, I follow you. Okay, all right, now I feel better. So that's why I needed to talk to you. I need clarity in my life, Hugh. You know, like, important things. You warned us last week. You tried telling us the defense is irrelevant. You know, I need your clarity.
Well, did you have clarity on who sells sausage, Chris?
I don't know. The only guy that I could think of is Jimmy Dean.
Jimmy Dean.
That's a good guess, though.
It's a good guess, but it would be incorrect. Thank you, Chris. So not Jimmy Dean. One guess off the books. And that is our first cue for clue for Hugh's Clues today. This guy sells sausage.
Selling sausage.
And we'll have more clues as the show goes on. Next one coming up at 11:30. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Run more calls in the next segment. Did we overreact to the Eagles' loss? I say no. Hugh says yes. Also, guesses for Hugh's Clues. Rhea Hughes will join us at 11 in studio. Always love talking to Rhea. Plus, Derek Carr, what he had to say about Vic Fangio's defense. That's coming up next. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Hugh Douglas. It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Hakuna Matata, what a wonderful phrase. Hakuna Matata, ain't no passing.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Hugh Douglas. This is the Midday Show. Why do you feel attacked, Hugh?
Because I feel like Kyle's trying to send a subliminal message.
No, I'm with you, man.
Okay. I don't believe
no
it.
Worries,
I don't think
Hugh.
Kyle's with me. I think he's just, you know.
You think I'm lying?
No, I think you're picking. I think you're doing, you know.
What do you mean?
You think it's going to be okay for real, Kyle?
Yeah. Okay,
this is the thing. I'm uncomfortable with this version of Kyle. I feel like, you know, maybe your plant-based softness is rubbed off on
no,
him
you know what
bit.
It is? I think I'm a little nervous because yesterday Kyle was on fire.
I've calmed down. I just need a few days, man.
I don't like Kyle, though.
Well, like,
I want Kyle who's fired up, ready to fire people.
You got to get me earlier in the week, man. That's when I start yelling. And then I get it all out.
I tell you, and we're going to get a chance to talk to him in a few minutes, but I think the person that is way, when I say way worse, I say it with all love and respect. But Rhea, boy.
I can't wait to talk. Rhea will be on my side, okay? Boy, I am very excited to talk to her.
Like,
I need
listen,
Rhea's help here.
Rhea.
Overreacting.
No, when Rhea overreacts, it's a barrage of text messages with colorful words, like super colorful, that I cannot repeat on the air. And you know what? This was the best part about this weekend. So I'm sitting there watching the game, and I'm watching in the back, and I usually watch by myself. So this week I had the joy of having Gary Cobb sit next to me.
G Cobb,
shout out to my man G. And G's talking about what they're doing, and it's like it's almost like they were in lockstep with one another because Rhea's texting me what Gary's saying, and I'm like, I said, Gary, you know what's funny? I said, Rhea's saying the exact same thing you're saying. And we're sitting there, yeah, like, what are they doing? And then Rhea's like, what are they doing? And it was a fun time.
It's great. Rhea texts me during Andy Reid playoff games when he's losing and talking about how bad of a coach Andy Reid is. But we'll talk to Rhea coming up at 11 o'clock. But are we overreacting the Eagles? The question we're asking today after that loss Monday night. 215-592-9494. But we are turning the page today as well. Eagles, this Sunday, 1 o'clock, they go to New Orleans, take on the Saints. Saints 2-0. They looked really good this past weekend in Dallas. And this offense, they scored 44 on the Cowboys on Sunday. Here was Derek Carr talking earlier this week about what he's seen from Vic Fangio, the Eagles' defensive coordinator.
We're playing Vic Fangio in an amazing defense, you know, like with an amazing offense. Like our challenge is right in front of us, you know. And so if we don't bring it, you know, here throughout the week, you know, they have a great pressure plan. You know, they got cover zero blitzes. You know, they got a great front, you know, some DB. I mean, they got linebackers that can run.
Has he actually watched film of this defense?
He was trying to be, you know, it's one thing to be complimentary, but it's another thing to be like when Kyle, just like what Kyle did playing the Hakuna Matata, I felt attacked.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Derek Carr, like, man, what the hell are you talking about?
That was just flat out why.
Well,
you know,
the offense is explosive, but you want to be complimentary because you don't want to go into this week against a team that's already going to come in salty. They're coming in salty. I believe that, man. You know, Jalen Carter's getting a lot of heat for being late to a meeting, getting a lot of heat for that. You have to come in salty. You got to come in salty this week. I don't think that they're not going to be salty. Now, I'm not saying that all of a sudden there's going to be a switch that's flipped and all of a sudden they're going to turn into Lawrence Taylor and Derek Thomas coming off the corner. I'm not saying that. But I think they will be stouter against the run, and that's a start.
Here's what I want to see. I want to see them be stouter against the run. And how about, can a defensive end get a sack? It is legal for a defensive end to record
Brandon
a sack.
Brandon Graham had one, but they negated it. Got negated.
Yeah. The only, they've had three sacks this season. Two by Zach Bond, one from Milton Williams. How about a defensive end gets a sack? That's what I want to see.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you, man. I'm watching these guys play. And, the heavy breathing. And I'm like, man, what are they doing? Like, they're not disengaging from the tackles. They're not giving themselves a chance to get to the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wish I could explain it to you in a way that I could show the people, but it's like when they're rushing, they're not separating from the tackle.
Right.
And what I mean by that is that they're getting engulfed. They're not giving themselves a chance to win. You always got it all depends on what side of the ball you're on. If you're on the right end, which the position I play, you always want to keep your right arm free. You know, you want to keep that free, and it helps you turn. And you always want to be turning as I go through my air, showing people like we're doing television
everybody
on
can
radio,
see it.
Like everybody can see me. But you want to keep the hand free so that it helps you turn the corner.
Right.
And you want to lean, and you want to keep that outside leg free because you're trying to press. As you're running up the field, you're pressing inside, trying to squeeze the tackle. And they're not doing that.
And that's my biggest concern, and why I don't think it's an overreaction, is this defensive line just really not playing well at all through two games, and this defense could really struggle if that continues to be the case. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Fabian in Miami. What's up, Fabian?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, man?
I got 2 points, but before I get to my points, I do want to say, hey, Wawa is really good, but you know, Bucky's is life-changing.
No, listen. Wawa's and Bucky's. Like, Bucky's is that place, man. This is Fabian. This is my plan, and I'm not deviating from this. When the Eagles make it to the Super Bowl, because I believe that's going to happen, I'm going to drive to New Orleans, take a little time off. I'm going to have to plot out my trip, and I'm going to stop by Bucky's, and I'm going to get everybody a gift from Bucky's.
There you go.
It's nice.
Yeah, like I was telling Kyle, like, I do think we are overreacting because what we got to understand and what I hope these players are starting to understand is that they're not going to be winning these games just off talent alone. I mean, everybody's coming here thinking, oh, we're better than that South because we have a way better roster. And it's true, but at the end of the day, like from last season, what they should have learned is, you know, most of those games, everybody was like, okay, they're winning, but it's how they're winning. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to keep winning these games off top. People are picking up and people have things to prove too. And I think that showed a lot in Monday's game. Like they, you know, regardless of missing AJ Brown, which is a big miss, but I think these guys got to step up, you know. And to my next point is like what you're saying, you like, we don't know what these guys are being taught. Like, okay, so what I, you know, I'm a Hurricanes fan, and one thing I like about you is that, you know, they constantly bring, you know, the players from the past to come in and talk to these guys, and you can see that Deion Sanders has been doing, and you're bringing in Warren Sapp and Ed Reed, and one thing I caught that Ed Reed was saying was that he noticed that a lot of these guys are. They're not, when they're making a tackle, they're not getting their head across. And he's saying he don't know why these guys are being taught this way. And I just think that's something that these players can benefit, you know, like guys like you, and Seth, you know, that can come in here and talk to these guys.
No, that's not my job. That's not my job. But, my job is not to teach them anything. My job is to talk about what they do. That's the coach. That's why they paying Coach No-Net, Coach Hurts, and them cats over there. That's their job.
Yeah, and I appreciate the call, Fabian. That's the thing, Hugh. I mean, we know that at least from the coordinator perspective, Kellen Moore, Vic Fangio, these are good coaches. I mean, I feel like the players got to be getting coached. They got to perform. I mean, I think this is more of a talent issue than a coaching issue.
See, I don't believe that. I believe that there might be some of that. I mean, I'm not naive, but a lot of the things that I see with them is technique. Like, there's too many times for me where I've seen these players flash to say that they're not talented. It's at this level, it's more about technique than anything. You've seen lesser guys with lesser talent come in and be successful. Kyle Vandenbosch is a defensive end that played for the Tennessee Titans. He wasn't the fastest guy off the corner. He wasn't the biggest guy, but he had technique. Cameron Wake, I looked it up yesterday. Who was it? Cameron Wake, Robert Mathis. I compare Cameron Wake, Robert Mathis, to Bryce Huff. And you know what? Out of the three of those guys, Robert Mathis was the smallest out of the three. Robert Mathis played defensive end at 245 pounds. You know how many sacks Robert Mathis has?
A lot.
Well over 100.
Yeah.
At defensive end. So you can't tell me that they can't. It can't be done. That's so, technique.
So, I mean, you think Bryce Huff's issues are correctable?
Yes, I do. I really believe that.
And could get him figured out. Yes. That's the thing. I don't. 215-592-9494. Coming up next, Rhea Hughes will join us in studio, get her take on all of this. Have we overreacted to Monday night's loss? I think I know Rhea's answer to that. Plus, the other major story to come out of yesterday, the Sixers' new arena. That is coming up as well. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio, alongside Hugh Douglas, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.